John, tag, you're supposed to run after me after I touch you. You can't. That's not how tag works, the way you're playing.
It's a regional thing. I'm playing Midwestern rules.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay, yeah. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, speaking of, Dave, you know, with Memorial Day coming up,
I'm guessing you're
probably getting ready for plenty of fun days in the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right?
First, I have to learn these rules for tag. But, yes, everyone knows this, John. Everyone knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby.
Oh, yeah.
Knockaround is the original affordable sunglasses company, and they've got just what you need for Memorial Day weekend, MDW, for those of us who celebrate all year, and all the way through summertime.
They do. And with over 20 different frame styles, there's something for the whole family, including tons for kids.
So, whether you're looking to rock a pair of red, white, and blue shades for the big weekend, or just to restock your collection before summer gets here, Knockaround has you covered.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you know that all their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyeballs?
Oh, man. And I've put copper tone just right on the old ojos, and it burns. It is burning still to this day.
Yeah, well, you keep putting it on.
Well, it's a habit. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
You know, Dave, where I come from, Memorial Day weekend means it's race day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
oh,
there's no more important place to have some shades than outside at the track.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard me say that once, you've heard me say that a million
it's
times.
It's on your front yard.
I think I might actually just buy a pair of Knockarounds in that color.
Yeah.
Like in the color of each car, actually.
Yeah.
And it's switching back and forth based on who's leading the race.
Love that. That's one of the best ideas you've ever had.
So listen, Dadville fans, take that idea and run with it. Also, don't be the one squinting through family beach days or trips to the park. Go to knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
I just said that.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Steve Mokler.
Guys, let me tell you something about today. We've got one of my favorite people in the whole world on the podcast.
Cut it out.
We'll talk about the guest, though.
Oh, sorry. Also, here with us is Steve Mokler, who I've known for a long time and really care about. I am really glad you're here. So we have Steve Mokler with us. Steve, I'm going to give a little bit of the brag sheet, so buckle up. Yeah, just so I know you are not a humble guy, but
I've
you're
got 30
have to
seconds.
Be.
Go ahead.
You're going to, okay. Seven records. Is that right?
That's right.
I count. Okay, I was making sure. Most recent is Make a Little Room, which was released last year, 2022.
Yep.
Also, songs recorded by, this is fun. This is actually a pretty impressive, intensive list. Dirk Spindley. Some people might know him. Reba.
Mm-hmm.
McIntyre, people might know her. Ashley Monroe, who's a mutant. Jake Owen. Ben Rector. What song
Our
did
buddy.
You and Rector?
It's a song called Without You I had started in a chorus, and he... played it for him, and he's like, dude, I love that. Can we finish it? And
I didn't
it's
know.
It's on the second album, I think. First or second
Yeah,
album.
Yeah. Dude, I love that song.
Thanks, man.
Way to go. Opened for Old Dominion. This is insane. This list is truly like Willie Nelson.
That was awesome.
Dan and
what
Shay.
What did that look like, the Willie Nelson thing?
It was a four-show run out kind of in the out west, and we started in Nevada at this casino, and then made our way out to this cool, like the Santa Barbara Bowl. It was so cool.
I mean,
yeah,
it's one thing to open for him, but that is where you want to open for, that or like Texas.
It was cool. The scenes we were driving through, it just was
on
just
road
felt
again.
So Americana. It was really cool.
That's amazing. Dan and Shay, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. I mean, that's no slouching list of people. Mokler's music. I just like calling you Mokler. Smoke, as I call him. His music has been featured in several movies, TV shows, commercials, such as October Baby, The Ranch. This is really cool. In 2017, Mack Trucks commissioned him to write and perform a song, Born Ready, for the release of their Anthem Truck series, which that's so cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was an honor.
And also, and I love this, too, and we'll talk about this, has been doing his hometowns and campgrounds tour for a decade, right?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about
this year.
And it's currently on the last iteration of it. It's the last tour of the series.
Yeah, I just before I came here, I just hitched up the Airstream for the last time, and it was kind of an emotional deal, hitching it up and going, "Wow, this is my last time doing this."
How do you feel knowing it is the last run of it?
You know, it's bitter. I mean, you know, it's bittersweet. I feel ready to turn the page in some ways. Like it's just change for my family. Yeah. But for me, I'm going to miss it dearly. And yeah. I've just loved this adventure and of getting up close and personal with our audience. And, you know, as you guys know, as performers, it's like you have to spend so much time away from your family, right? So yeah. I feel like it's kind of been this way that I've been able to kind of have my cake and eat it too. And so that's been the sweetest part. That's going to be hard to let go of that. And,
yeah. Yeah. The thing we talked about, I'm cheating because Steve and I just had breakfast last week, so I feel like I'm read in on a lot of the comings and goings. I'm up to speed. But like one thing that we did talk about that I think is, and you know, John, you and Wirtz both did, you know, like a hefty share of those during COVID, which was so cool. And I've done a run of it now. It's such a cool thing because I think nowadays so many artists, especially the younger artists that are coming up in the age of social media, it's, you know, so much of your interaction is online. So it's like you release music and sure you go and tour, but so much of it, you know, there's just so much happening in the comment section or DMs or whatever. Like you're getting in Twitter, just obviously the back and forth there. You know, like we talked about at breakfast the other morning. What's so cool about that is it is the most distilled version of what we do. Mm-hmm. It literally is the most like concentrated version of performing for people. Like they are right there. There is no competition for your performance other than their phones. But there's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like you're in somebody's backyard and they're just sitting there ready to, and it's like kind of the best version of it because it's their place. They want you to be there. Right. They have all of their friends who are all read in on what's happening that night. You know, it's like, and I think at first when you see, I know when that started to become a thing years ago, I mean, it kind of felt like, I was a little nervous. I was like, that just feels like it could be either like a little creepy or you get the wrong family and it's like they want to harvest your organs or something, you know, or like stealing your hair during the, you know, during the show or something. Right. But I did it and I don't know. I mean, we talked about this at breakfast the other morning, Steve. Like, it's some of the most fun I've ever had playing shows.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like you sort of can't lose other than, which a friend will go unnamed, that had a bad experience because one of the hosts got absolutely hammer-faced and got really like demanding and weird.
Okay.
And we're not going to say who our friend was and we're not going to say who that family was.
Sure.
But that was his or her only bad experience. And I remember laughing with him or her about it because, you know, it was just like, oh man, she was gone and like came up on the stage and started requesting Journey songs. And it was like,
yeah.
But other than that, you know, it's just, it's such a cool, and the way you've done, I mean, I think you've probably done it the best of anybody I've seen where it's, you know, you have your Airstream with you, you have your kids with you, y'all have, the merch is so great. I mean, that thing you posted the other day, or I guess last night of the show, it was just like, God, like it's, everybody's so happy to be there and you're playing your songs.
So how did the idea for it come about 10 years ago?
My wife, Grace, and I, we got married that year, and we were two broke newlyweds, and she quit a sales job to start her own company that was actually a jewelry company that was employing women that were coming out of life on the streets. She had this dream and made this amazing line of stuff. So she quit her job, started doing this in our attic, and I was getting ready to, I was recording my third album. And I was praying one morning. I was like, God, how are we going to get these dreams off the ground? Hmm. And I just saw a picture in my head of us driving around in a camper. And I really it was so random at the time because I didn't grow up camping.
But you really just had a vision of
it. It was a vision in my head. It just popped in my head. But before I even knew what it was. And I said, that'd be cool. I don't know how this is going to be a profitable venture, but it seems fun. And then we kind of tossed around the idea. You know, you guys know my friend Tim Schur. He was my manager at the time. Also worked full time at the Apple Store. that was my whole operation. Was me and Tim, and we just kind of developed this idea. I drew on a napkin. I drew like a camper with lights on it and a little stick figure of myself playing guitar. And I was like, that'd be cool. And we just kind of developed the idea. And I have to give Tim a lot of credit on all the development too. And so we just put a video out there. We said, hey, we're going on a cross-country trip. If you'd want to host us for a night of music and hanging out, like, let us know. Send us an offer. And and we had over 150 submissions. I mean,
we were
blown away, especially with the size of my career at that time.
Yeah.
I was so blown away by it. And so we did 40 shows in 50 days in an 11-foot Winnebago camper with no bathroom.
Just married. Man, that is like just diving in.
That feels like every marriage counselor would be like, please don't do this. Please.
It feels like the
this.
Crazy example that the marriage counselor is giving when they're making a point. Yeah. I mean, unless you're in like an 11-foot trailer doing 40 shows in 50 days.
Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah. So when you had that idea, my personality, the first thing I would think, let's say I got this idea like you did. I have this vision. I'm like, well, that could be cool in some ways. But my first thought would be like, that is, and I love people, but I'm like, that is, I would feel like a hostage maybe. Was there any reservations as far as that goes?
None. We were honestly we were just obviously young and maybe ignorant in some ways, but also just like hungry to chase our dreams. And we liked hanging out. So we're like, let's just do this. And I can't say we felt that way. And my now manager, Beth, points out, she's like, you don't understand. Like most people would not, like no one on the roster where I'm at. Yeah. Like, they're like, no one. That doesn't sound good to anybody.
I think the thing,
but they're like, you are unique, and I'm like,
but you know what though? Yeah. I think it's such a compliment to you because I think the thing that is so wonderful and pure about it is it really is like, it's nothing but for the love of doing it. Like obviously it feels great, and you're interacting with people who are very encouraging, and but it's like you have to love this to do that. There's no because there's no safety. There's no like. You can't be inauthentic because it's you know it's picked up on immediately. You can't not enjoy it. You can't half-hearted play a song or two. Like it's to me the kind of like I said the most distilled version of it. So you only do that if you're like I want to play for people and it doesn't matter what it looks like. It can't be like I only do it if like 300 people are there or I'm only playing stadiums. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it has to be from a place of just pure enjoyment and passion.
Yeah, it probably keeps it pure.
I think it does. And I think I love playing, but I also have to say I love our audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what I've learned through 10 years of doing this is like, it's cool when you, I guess I like to think I put a lot of myself into my music. So there's this is my theory. There's a vibration in the music. There's a resonance. So I think it is going to attract people that I'm going to share a vibration with. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of new age.
It's true.
Like I when I a lot of situations have been like, man, I just like these people. Yeah. I like hanging out with these people.
That is I feel like you'd say the same thing. I know you do. I and I'm not just saying this, but I'm so thankful for people that listen to my music. I mean, I could tell you in my career of 20 whatever years it's been, I've had like 3 interactions. I'm this is a hand on a Bible that were like, that was a little weird, or they were too pushy, or
and those were all with words.
That was all with words. Yeah. And so really does it count?
Right.
That's the question. Sure. But you know what I mean? I feel the same way. And you know what I think it is too, and this is again just compliment to you. I'll never forget there was a guy early in my career did a couple shows with me. Great guy, Christian dude, young. And you know, we met up, did a couple shows, and he would get propositioned almost every night by a girl because we were playing a lot of and he never would do anything. I mean, he's a great guy, but he finally came to me and was like, dude, what is going on? Like it's really weird. Like girls are just kind of always flirting or like, what are you doing later, whatever. And I was like, you really want to know? And he's like, yeah. I was like, the energy that you put out is going to be the energy you get back. And if you watched his set, it was very mysterious. It was sensual. And I mean, he wasn't singing about sex or anything, but it was just, his vibe was very like alluring and, you know, kind of mysterious. You know, it was that vibe.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, that is how this works. Like if you're going to get what you put out.
Yeah.
And so if you're putting out sort of like, I don't know what I'm doing later. And oh my gosh, love is so hard for
me. He would say that in between every song.
I don't know what I'm doing later. Anyway, I don't know what I'm doing later. And you know, but Star Spangled Banner. I don't know what I'm doing later. But I think it's true. And I think it's a compliment to you. And I mean, same with you, John. I think of that with words. A lot of our friends, it's like when you're on stage being joyful and your true self and these things, I really think, to your point, it does draw a lot of those people to you that feel the same, or it's a like-to-like thing.
Yeah.
And so...
I think vibration is a good word for it. It's like there's just a vibe.
There's an energy,
that you put out.
Yeah, that's really true.
One other thing, too, I want to say that I think helps the relationship there is when the difference of being in a venue and being in someone's house or backyard And it's like, I think there is a barrier that you have to overcome in a venue.
Yes.
Like maybe people bought the VIP thing.
Yeah,
they paid
this
and they waited in line. And, you know, there's this, you're kind of elevated as the artist in a way in a venue. But I think for me, when I like pull into someone's driveway and like they get out, they see I'm like chasing my kid around. I got to change his diaper. And then I'm doing my core. They see, it's like, oh, this guy's just a guy.
He's a guy.
Like you can't, there's no, you know what I mean? I think it takes some of that, whatever, that
sex
star,
appeal,
sex appeal stuff out that I think makes the hang a lot easier.
So here's a hot take, and stay with me. Here's a hot take that I have about that. I think one of the things that is always really interesting to me with guys, and this is most of my friends, I mean, y'all, I think of Wirtz, Rector, Holcomb. None of my friends that do music who I think are insanely talented have that. They're not trying to do that. There's not everybody that I'm close to that plays music I know is actively trying to not be that, right? Mm. Like nobody that I know is trying to have star power. You know what I mean? It's trying to be like, check me out. And I think in some ways it really makes your career suffer. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but I think about this a lot. I'm like, I wonder if all of my friends really went, okay, because I feel like all y'all are really good looking guys. And it's like, if you had wanted to, and you were 23 or 24 to be like, I'm going to double down on a little bit of what Mayer did. Like, I'm going to really put out there that like, you don't know. And it doesn't even have to be for female interaction. I mean just that I'm mysterious and you can't get close to me because that builds so much interest, right?
Yeah.
Like they're a mile away from you, so you're always kind of like peering over to see where they are and what they're doing. I think that has so much to do with people's success. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I think in this world that we live in, pre-new heaven and new earth, I mean, not trying to preach a sermon, but I do think it matters because I think it makes people more interested. Like Taylor Swift is, you don't know that, you know just enough about her to make it interesting and keep you coming back. But I think if you think about so many artists that just fight so hard against that, I think their careers suffer because that sort of voyeuristic thing in all of us, it's not exciting anymore because they're just like me. And so it's what it's appealing about them, but I also think it's also potentially damaging because, to your point, Steve, it's like really affirming and sort of a bummer because you're like, oh man,
I guess I didn't think about
looking for that, if you're looking for some like superhuman, then
But I think there's something almost hardwired whether we want it to be or not.
Yeah.
Like if I meet Bono, I know he is a human. God made him just like he did me, like all the same little parts. And now he's made different inside his head and heart and soul and things. But, you know, he's just a dude. He's going to, you know, I can't help shake. I'm with Bono. And I think that thing, like it would take me if he was like, we could probably hang for a month every day. And maybe after a month where we are like first name basis, he's confiding in me and there's a real sense of equality, I may finally be like, yeah, that's just Paul Hewson. He's a good dude.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's like, I think there's just something built into us that anytime that stuff is doubled down on, you just can't help be more interested because there is something we already want to, you know, we're trying to make little Jesuses everywhere. You know, we're little idol makers. And so the closer we can get one between where the real one is and us, you're always going to want that, you know, because it's just, so I think to your point, you know, Steve, it's funny because the minute you're changing the diapers and things, it's this beautiful connection. But I sort of laugh to myself sometimes. Like, I just wonder if all of our careers as sort of like guys who are trying to do the right thing in the world have suffered because we haven't sort of been like, no, that's too close. People are like, wait, what? No. Oh, my God, you got to meet this guy. He's so mysterious and cool. And, you know, he's not like me. And that makes him cool. And I can sort of put him on a pedestal where it's like, all of us have done such a good job, I feel like, of sort of knocking that thing down so that when people meet us, they're like, oh, man, yeah, you really are just like me, which I love and I will always do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do wonder sometimes if it's kind of like, if it hurts in some ways because you just can't play the sort of like, I'm over here and you're over there.
Yeah.
You know?
can't put the cat back in the bag, you know?
I do have to say that in my notes, at the very top of my notes, Steve, I'll show you. The first thing I just have listed is your hair.
Oh, wow.
While we're on the subject of sex appeal. I just want to say your hair, I was looking at it today when I was researching and getting stuff together on my notes. I'm like, you've got that hair that, like, it's a rare thing. It's a, like, you
it's
look
a
at
rare
it, you're like,
hair thing.
What is so great about it? What is he doing? You're just like, it's like you're just pushing it back, but you're like, 99 out of 100 people couldn't do, they could have the same length of hair.
I don't know about
that. They just wouldn't make it work.
I appreciate you saying that.
The hair is like a thing. You know how, like, when you go to one of those, like, street caricature drawings?
Yeah.
That your hair would be the thing that they would, you know, they pick out, like, a feature and they really, like, augment it.
It's one of my favorite accounts on Instagram, which I can't follow because I feel too convicted. But do you know this one I'm talking about? It's the guy who purposefully draws caricatures, like the worst versions of the people. And it's like in an amusement park.
I haven't seen that.
And I don't know how he gets away with it. But, like, it is like if someone has a decent sized nose, it is just a nose and two eyes. But it's like at a theme park, and he's really good at it. And it's just so heartbreaking every time he gives it. Anyway, but I remember, you know, meeting you. I remember this, Steve, because it was like, to your point about the hair, John. I remember, like, early days, you know, gosh, whenever that was, 10, 15, 15 years ago? Probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15.
I remember Wirtz coming to me and being like, dude, there is this guy who is awesome. He lives in town. I just heard his music. He is, like, the next thing, I'm telling you. And I was like, and you know, there's two things that happened to me. I mean, like, I can't wait to meet this guy. And then the other side is, now it's one more person I have to kill. Mm-hmm. And so I remember him giving me all the faint lights. Yeah, that record.
Yeah.
And listening to it and being like, Dad, come on, this is so good. And I was like, I love it. And then seeing a picture of you and being even more frustrated because it was like, oh, great. And he's like, cool hair. And he's this good looking guy. And then we met and you were so much, you know, personality. And but I remember feeling, God, this is that guy, isn't it? It's the guy who's like, he's got great songs, a great voice. He plays guitar well, and he's really good looking. And I just remember thinking, like, I didn't come to Nashville for this. This is not why I'm here. But I just remember it being, dude, like, you know, hearing that album for the first time and just being so, so floored. Like, and that's, you know, John had a note, which I wanted to bring this up. You were really interesting to me too, because you started writing so young. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, wasn't it like 13, 14?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. So, I mean, which, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit, but, like, of our friends, of all my friends, that's not a
You would think
thing.
That a lot of us have that story, but we don't really.
No, not at all.
You know, Dave and I both started writing songs way later.
Huh. Last year.
Just a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah.
It made me curious. Like, what was your relationship with music like? Anyone who was writing songs in junior high, I'm like, okay, tell me about that. Like, what was that like? Were you like was that your thing at school?
Yeah.
Was
it like, oh, Steve's the cool
musician guy?
Yeah.
Well, it did become my thing.
It did.
I didn't feel like I had a thing until I picked up a guitar. But thank you for everything you said, by the way. I was sitting here kind of speechless because, like, truly, you guys are who I was listening to when I was in high school and, you know, getting inspired to write songs and move to Nashville. So it's really cool to hear that. But when I was 14, I remember listening to Napster. Like, my dad worked from home in the office basement. I got Napster, and I downloaded the Dave Matthews Band song.
Yeah.
I remember spinning on my dad's swivel chair at the outro of, I think, his song So Much to Say. Bam, chicka, chicka, boom. And I don't know why. I was just like, I want to play guitar. I want to play maybe. And I begged my mom for a guitar, and I wanted a Fender Stratocaster. She wouldn't get me one because I'd quit everything else I did, and they were expensive.
Yeah.
But my grandmother lived with us at the time, and she was dating a guy named Tony after my pat passed away. And Tony collected all kinds of stuff, including guitars.
Oh,
so
wow.
She overheard me asking my mom. One day I came down for school, and Tony dropped off this, like, 1980 Alvarez acoustic guitar.
Oh,
it was still dark out. I came down in the morning, and I was like, no way. So I started playing the acoustic guitar and learning chords. And
Young, 14.
I guess.
What was the first song you learned? You remember?
The first song I learned, I think might have been Lunch Lady Land by Adam Sandler.
Oh my god!
Because there was two chords in it. There was just two chords in it. I was like, it's a two chord song. I was obsessed with that song at that time. That's a middle schooler learning to play guitar, yep. right? Adam Sandler.
Totally. So,
but yeah, it was as I learned chords, I just started writing songs, and I didn't realize till later that's kind of weird.
So when you were playing, are you just doing it for the fun of doing it, or are you like, I think I'm pretty good, or was there some sort of self sort of like analysis of like, yeah, I think this is my thing?
It was just, it started just as fun, like something I was just doing like on my own, you know, in my bedroom, down, like just wherever. Just, that was like what I put off everything else just to play guitar and learn songs. And then the first time I played in front of people was with a band. So like, you know, one guy, my friends in high school, or middle school started playing drums. Another one started playing bass. You know how it goes. And I'm like, wait, we could make this a thing. I didn't have the guts to go and play on my own in front of people.
Yeah.
And we were all fighting, like no one wanted to be the singer. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll be the singer. So our first gig was at this like winter festival at school. It was like in the cafeteria in the middle of the day around Christmas time. Uh-huh. And we played some original songs.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Along with Outside by Staind. Really brought the house down with that.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the video, that is just so painful. Wait. It's just so painful.
Staind.
Of
every band.
Adam Sandler.
And artist Staind.
I've always had great taste.
Do you love Adam Sandler?
Do you love Staind?
You'll love Steve
Did
Mokler.
Did y'all have a band name?
Yes.
Please tell me.
It was called Line of Reason.
No, that's actually, that feels,
that's not bad.
I don't hate that.
I kind of do, but thank you.
But you know what I mean? Like, that could have been.
It could have been. See, I in some ways feel like the ones that like are really bad are almost better now. Ours was just kind of like, trying pretty hard. I see the effort.
I just remember, I mean, we've talked about this in the pod, but I just remember like being in high school and when we moved to Knoxville, and there were some bands in the school that were actually like pretty good. And I just, it was dark magic to me. It was literally like going to guy, and I was even in a band, which is funny because we would do that, but going and seeing bands play original songs when you're like 16 and 17, it literally felt like I am seeing something that it was like I couldn't understand how do you you're in my chemistry class. How do you sing that song you wrote? Like where are you getting that? It was mind-boggling to me. So I can't imagine at that age your friends, because you're not up there playing whatever the Beatles or John Mayer, what, you know, it's like whatever they would know. You're playing a song you wrote, which I remember that just felt like I can't comprehend how unbelievably foreign and amazing that was.
So how did it go?
It went really well. I mean,
like the kid, your
like
friends
we
were
got
like,
a good response.
Awesome.
And as I was saying, it was like I wasn't very good at, you know, in class. I wasn't great at sports. And it was kind of like, I felt like I had a thing. I feel like, you know, and like, I felt like some of the girls maybe looked at me a little differently. He's like, that was cool. And I'm like, all right. I like the way this feels.
Let me find another chord.
Yeah. You ever heard of E minor?
Ooh, watch out.
So I think looking back, we felt like affirmed and enough. I mean, the gig, there's footage of the gig. It's terrible.
Really?
But to your point, we were middle school kids, and our peers thought that was cool,
coolest thing in the world,
and we kept doing it.
Did it's funny now because I think obviously doing what we've done for all the years we've all done it. If someone came to me and said, "Hey, my now Nashville's different because it's in the water," but just stay with me. If someone came to me that was like, you know, a friend at church or something, school, whatever, dad says, "Hey, like, you know, my son is 14 and he's like writing songs on his guitar," I would be like, this is substantial. I'd be like, you need to pay attention to that. I'm not saying get him lessons. I'm just saying, to me, that's a tell. Because it's one thing if he's sitting playing for hours in his room, I'd still be like, that's great. Like, something's in there. But when someone says they're writing songs at that age, that's to me like, that's not normal. Like, that probably means something, because it's one thing to want to sing somebody else's songs. It's the one thing to learn licks. But when you're producing, when you're writing a song at 14, 15, 16, especially to me in the middle of Pennsylvania or somewhere that doesn't have a pedigree for it, I'm like, you know, if I ran, if you know, like, that's my nephew or something, I'm going to be like, hey, you need to pay attention to that, because that's a substantial tell to me.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising you'd be here doing this for a living now, because to me, I'm like, you don't write songs as a 14-year-old kid unless you really want to, like, you love music, or you know what I mean? Like, you have something to say. It's any, well said. Yeah. So it's interesting to hear, I mean, to John's point. I mean, 14 is not.
I guess it is pretty young.
Yeah. It's really young. It's like, and then to play out at your, you know, to I just can't, like, I can't get over Stained. I'm like, I'm trying.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
it was a weird choice. It was the sound of the times. You guys remember?
Oh, totally.
It was.
So, but hey, it confuses me.
Listen to me. I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. Is that not how it feels to be 14?
It feels like a Line of Reason song.
That's how you feel for
it. That's a Line of Reason song.
Well, it's a Line of Reason brand. I mean, that was Joe's brand. You know what I mean?
So I'm curious, though. Like, music's your thing. Go through high school, and then you move to – you come here to Nashville.
Yeah.
And you do a couple years at Belmont, right?
Yeah.
And then you leave Belmont, and then you just do music full on.
So did you –
Well, I tried, yes.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Let me ask something really quickly to Belmont, because I want to know – was it intimidating to go and be around all those songwriters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. And I think.
Did you do all the showcases?
I did. Yeah, I did as much stuff as I could. And it was intimidating and it was so inspiring at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it was, it almost felt like equal parts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's the classic, you know, big fish in a small pond, and you come here and you're like, well, everybody's got this gift and this passion. And I think it was like, I was, it put the songwriting on like overdrive.
Yeah.
Cause I'm constantly seeing people, little show posters and hearing little things people are working on. So when I was like, I was always writing songs after class in the dorm, in the laundry room. So I was just fired up and intimidated, but I think the intimidation almost
it's a circle fueled, itself.
Yeah, just kind of fueled the drive.
Yeah, that's so cool.
But I missed that time.
John. I love fall.
Hang on. Dave.
That was good. Okay. I love everything about fall. I love falling in love.
Oh,
yeah. I love falling back time-wise, you know.
Sure.
Spring forward, fall back.
Yep.
But you know what I especially love?
Tell me.
It's just fall. The season fall. As the leaves are turning, the kids are back in school, the air is crisp.
Amen.
And hey, this one's for you. Guess what's plentiful?
Candy corn. It's plentiful. I love fall too. It's probably my favorite. You got the crackling fires. You got trick-or-treating. You got apple cider. But I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
When I see the leaves falling off the trees... I'm kind of reminded that nothing lasts forever.
Oh, that's
you know, I'm an artist. I go deep.
Yeah, you do.
And I owe it to my loved ones to secure my family's financial future. I'm an artist, but I also, you know,
you're
practical.
A responsible artist.
You know
John?
What I mean?
Yes.
Starting with life insurance, Dave.
Yep.
Fabric by Gerber Life makes it quick, easy, and affordable to protect your family so you can get back to enjoying your life.
That's true, John. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule.
That's right. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. With over 1,700 five-star reviews, they're rated as excellent on Trustpilot.
Not sure if life insurance is right for you? Take Fabric's quick 60-second quiz to find out. There's no risk to apply. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time.
Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/dadville.
That's meetfabric.com/dadville. M-E-E-T fabric.com/dadville. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Look, you and I both have online e-commerce platforms, right?
We
We're selling stuff, right? Well, listen, if you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing. However you cha-ching.
I see where you're going.
You remember those commercials?
I do. Johnny, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, even if your business is the stage.
Stop it. Come on. You're on fire, dude.
No, I can't.
You're right. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? I remember that stage.
Yeah, me too.
Months and months ago. Yesterday, maybe. Shopify is there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling silly string or hawking Halloween horoscopes. Oh, that's good. That's just good writing. Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. Dave, listen to this. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms.
They're just taunting people. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Now, personally, what I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gets you what you need to take your business all the way to the top.
Another fun fact about Shopify, it powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S.
That's insane.
Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries.
Plus, not to one-up you, but I am kind of on top right now, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify.
Yeah, that's good news, but not as good as this news, because it actually serves people well, okay? Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dadville, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dadville now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/dadville.
What I miss about that, like as you're describing that, it makes me miss those days of being in a practice room all the time, and just any new thing that
was a
new thing.
Yes,
yeah,
and you could make a song out of any, like if you heard on some old record or something, some chord that was like, oh, what is that? And then you play it for the first time, and it's like, that's a song. And and I'm only speaking for me here. My bar was so low that like. It's like, oh, whatever the lyrics are, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but like, oh, it's a song now.
I love that you said old record, like you were sitting around listening like Dizzy Gillespie or like, you know.
I was.
Like the entertainer.
That's what I came from.
But it's true. Yeah, those days of just the unadulterated, everything was inspiring. And you know, to your point, Steve, I used to tell people, because they'd be like, why Nashville? Is it hard being a songwriter or whatever, musician with all these other people? And I would always say, you know, when you come here, you're either inspired or intimidated. And I think the people who are inspired are the ones that seem to stick it out. But I've amended that since, and it's what you said. I'm like, no, it's actually both. It's like you're going to get intimidated and inspired. It's just hopefully you're more inspired than intimidated.
Right.
But you're just, there's no way to be here and not feel like, what am I doing? Because you bump into somebody who plays a song or something, and you're like, and again, you're coming from a place where, you know, you were kind of the guy. It was like you were sort of the guy who was like, oh, my buddy writes songs. You're like, I'm the one guy in my school that kind of does this.
Yeah.
To like, everybody at this school seems to do this at a very significant level.
And it's, you know, as you guys know, it's still like that. You know, I think like Belmont in a lot of ways was just like this kind of microcosm of that, what I was going to get into. You know, it was just prepared me, because I still feel that, and it's always a challenge to, when you feel intimidated, don't let it get into envy, it's like just channel it into inspiration. This town is so full of that, if you can like just reroute your brain to go put it in here, get it down to the heart,
I
heard an interview, this is so random, but Jewel was doing, this is probably 20 years ago. She was doing this thing for MTV. And I remember laughing, because it was, you could see the producer, they were doing like, it was like a ski, like a snow ski, you know, like spring break, but at, you know, in Denver or Boulder or something, you know. And you know that Park City, name it. But it was like, and we have Jewel who's playing outside a set, and you know that producer was like, we're going to put a little thing down. She and a percussionist, we're going to plug her in. It'll be on the side of the slope. And you could tell the minute it comes on to her, she's like, this is the most miserable I've ever been in my life. And two, you really think I'm going to be able to perform in these conditions? Like, you could read that immediately. And she kind of powers through her set. She's got gloves on, but the tips are. And it was just, I was, even at that age. But she said something that I thought was really interesting. They were like, what is your hope for your music? And she said, really just that it inspires. That's really all I want. And I remember at the time thinking, that's the weirdest answer I've ever heard. You know, I was probably early 20s. And I was like, no, you want people to buy it. Or you want them to sing it. But I was now I'm like, that's
pure.
I just want it to be inspiring. I just want people to hear it. And either then they want to go write a song or they want to go tell their girlfriend they love her or what, you know, whatever. Yeah. But like, I just want it to be inspiring. Mm-hmm. And so to your point, it's true about this town. It's intimidating as crud, but man, it's so inspiring.
It is.
On a good day, on a bad day.
Right, right.
Like, well, that's probably what's so great about the hometowns and campgrounds thing is you get to hear those stories.
It's exactly right.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you guys know when you're in Nashville, in this bubble, and kind of what, when you're, you know, your channel, your audience is through DMs and it's like there's this disconnect.
Yeah.
And you're in here and you kind of feel like, oh, well, you can just see in whatever all your other artist friends are doing and all those measuring, you know, units of whatever. This many people at the show, this is where I'm at on the chart and the radio. And it can start, you think it starts to feel small, you know? Yeah. At least I struggle with that sometimes. But when I get out on tour and just whatever, I meet a family, like, we listen to music in our kitchen, like, every day. Or a guy tells me, man, I quit my job, this song, like, gave me this perspective. Or people, you know, people that deal with, have suffered with loss or fighting cancer or whatever, and they go, your music helps me. I'm like, that really puts a lot of wind in my sail.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
That's the stuff that, I mean, you guys know, that's what keeps me going. And so I get what Jewel's saying when, you know, but getting that feedback is
well, it's, and two, it's to your point, it really is such a great, I will literally say this out loud to myself some nights after I do shows like that where I get to interact with people, especially in those settings where it's like, little off the beaten path. It's not a venue, so it feels a little like this is how we do the venue shows, and it's good to meet, you know, or like a VIP experience, which are great. But like, we actually have a chance to really interact with people. I will find myself, I will get in the car after those events, and I'll think, I need to do this more. Because I'll think, it's just, it's so clarifying.
Yes.
Like, you see the songs people react to. I'll joke because I'll be like, I got to stop writing songs like that. Nobody cares. But boy, these they love. And of course, I'm joking. But it's just such a pure version of what we do.
It is.
It's immediately you can see, you know, and then to have people come up, like you said, and share these stories that are just so impactful. Those nights to me are just so powerful. I remember. I'm telling you, every time I get in the car those nights, I'll take a beat and I'll just go, God, I just needed this to remember, like, what is it I'm trying to do? Because it's so hard to not get lost in the, like, he's playing where? She's doing what? They open for who? Or they're closing for who? Or whatever.
Right.
But instead going, man, this is the feeling. This is the thing I keep chasing. It's just this feeling of, like, connectedness.
Connection.
To see the songs matter to people. To know that, you know, you're doing what you feel like you've been called to do and that it's having an effect on the world. It's just so, so, and especially in 2023 when it feels like, everything we're having to deal with social media and whatever can get so confusing and get spun in the wrong way, or a comment can't be taken like it's meant to be, or, you know, people leave some snarky comment, you know, whatever it is. And it just feels like it's so far away from that experience, which is just so like, oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just human.
Yeah,
humans just human. Hanging out. and having a beer in the driveway.
Yeah.
You know, while their kids run around. It's like, it's just good.
It is, man.
It's just good.
So there's got to be another side. It's not the opposite side, but we're talking about the pure, the great, the awesome. But you've got to have some good stories.
Oh, Steve.
Some like...
Steve.
Oh, buddy.
Steve.
We're ready for it.
Will you please? This is... I told John. I was like, this is probably top five my favorite performance stories of any of my friends.
Wow. Wow, I know you
will
got a
you
lot.
Please, will you please tell the story? I can't talk about that.
Will you talk about the Girl Scouts?
John, you are about to experience. I'm not kidding. This I will tell. I'll tell people this story. I mean, it's your story. I'll tell them as you.
I want to hear your.
It'll
version.
Just. Well, I'll just rant. Well, wait. Somebody will be like, "Dude, I had the worst thing." I was like, "Can I tell you one of my favorite sports of all time? Please tell the folks and John the story."
Well, So we're doing this. Let's say we. It was just me. This is not.
You and the
Holy
Spirit.
This is pre-hometowns and campgrounds.
Okay.
This was
Early days.
This was probably right after I had met you, Dave, and I just dropped out of college after 2 years.
By the way, can we just, I don't want to keep doing this, but how did your parents feel about that? That's a big move.
Mm-hmm. So I almost didn't go to school to begin with.
Oh, okay.
But I actually had this independent record deal offered to me when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
And it's a long story, so I don't want to, and I used to ask the question, but I ended up turning down the deal. An attorney,
I have that in my notes. Like, how did you turn down a deal at 18?
Okay, you want to go into that? Because I could. Please give it to us. Okay, then we'll get
we
to
have
the Girl
like
Scouts.
Five stories.
We'll get to the Girl Scouts here.
We'll land all these.
To choose your own adventure.
So when I was 18, I made my first solo CD. The other stuff was with Line of Reason and another band, and I made my first solo thing.
What was the name of the other band?
And it was another try hard name. It was called My Evergreen Avenue.
Oh, that's amazing.
I like that, actually.
You guys are so nice.
No, that is good.
You think that's cool?
Yes.
All right.
The other one was called Stained with Adam.
Wait, what is Rector's high school band? It's so good.
His is Euromart.
Euromart.
That's cool.
That is.
To me, that wins.
But you have to be from Berlin, though. That's the only thing. It's like,
yeah. It's a Euromart little Coldplay-ish.
Yeah.
Euromart. But I like that about it.
When he told me that, I was like, it's so cool, but it's so not Ben Rector. Like, yeah. Euromart?
It's pretty
like,
hip.
It sounds like it'd just be, yeah. Wow, 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 like just MIDI
right.
synths. And
right,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, welcome tonight. Yeah. We are going to have some fun with the band, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We were trying hard. We were trying very hard.
My Evergreen Avenue.
So, but the band was breaking up. Everyone was going to college, and I was like, I'm serious about this. I really want to keep doing it. So I recorded a CD in one of my mom's coworkers' husband's basements. He brought me over and just reverbed the crap out of the recordings, and it was awesome. I was stoked. We had this little 7-song EP, printed it out.
Is it just you and a guitar?
Just me and a guitar.
Okay.
I think I had my friend come over and play keys on a couple things, but it was super bare bones. And one of the bands that my high school band had opened up for was coming back through town. I knew they were signed to a little indie label down in Florida, and I never do this. Like, literally, since I've come to Nashville, it's not been my play. But I gave him my CD. It was like, so I said, and I was like, man, you just give it a listen. I just recorded this. And he took it back to, gave it back to the president of the label, who was actually he was in a band called LFO. You guys remember that?
Yes.
New Kids on the Block. This guy, Brad Fischetti, one of the guys in that band, started a label. It's called 111 Records in Orlando, Florida. And he heard the recording, and I was working at a dry cleaner at the time. And my town, and I got a phone call, and it was Brad, the head of the label. I had no idea. Like, the guy from the band never
even
told
even
me
wow.
he gave it to
wow.
me. I didn't know he listened to it. And then I get a call from the head of the label, and he's like, I mean, made me feel like $1 million. He's like, dude, I love your stuff. And he's like, I tell you what, like, I want to fly you down here and talk about a record deal, maybe a publishing deal. And I was like, oh my gosh. In my mind, I'm like in a tour bus like next week.
Totally.
So he flies me and my dad down. We go down. It's so funny. I remember like,
I'm so glad your dad went, by the way.
My dad went, and the funniest thing is my dad, who, like, God bless him, he's not like a super fashionable guy. He's like a meat and potatoes kind of guy. I was like, Dad, I think I need some, like, cool clothes for this. He's like, okay, where should we go? So, like, we go to, like, JCPenney and Urban Outfitters. No stylist. It's hilarious. The stuff I wore, it's, like, not even stuff I would wear.
Yeah,
nothing matched. And I go down there with just, like, my new clothes. And he takes us out to the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, my God.
And offers
me a
record
deal.
Deals. And a publishing deal.
That's where deals get closed.
Where deals
oh, come
get
on,
closed.
Man. That's, it was
over
the spot.
Cheesecake in Orlando.
That Steak Diane, where do I sign?
Steak Diane.
Chicken Madeira?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I get this record deal, I mean, which was insane. It blew my mind. And I end up having to get an attorney to look it over.
So when you're down there, did you, like, play for him?
I didn't. That's actually funny.
Wow.
I didn't even play with him. I didn't play for him.
Y'all had one dinner.
We just had dinner, and then
they probably saw the outfit, and they're like, "All right, we're
good."
Yeah,
it was probably we don't need
this guy.
This guy's legit.
The style's off the charts.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
also, could he be blind? We need to make sure he's not blind.
No one combines pennies with Urban Outfitters. We've never seen it done. You're on. We're in.
It was original.
Yeah.
LFO's style changed overnight.
So anyway, I had to find this attorney. It's a long story. I get connected with this guy. He's like a kind of an underdog attorney. Like, but I knew he represented some bands that I knew and whatever. So he ends up.
Is he out of Philly? Where is he? Or Pittsburgh?
He's actually out of St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
And I call him up.
Because we should, I don't even know if we said this. You grew up right outside of Pittsburgh.
Yes, I grew outside of Pittsburgh.
That should have been said long ago.
No, it's all right. And this guy, I call him up. He's like, hey, I got 5 minutes. What do you need? And I ended up, it was just super that vibe. But then he ended up talking to me for like an hour. I think he could tell I was lost. I was naive. Mm-hmm. And he could
God
just,
bless
I think his
guy.
Heart just went out to me. Mm-hmm. So we talked for a long time. And he's like, why don't you send me over the deal? And I'll take a look at it. So we send the deal over. And I'll never forget being, again, down in the basement where I downloaded Dave Matthews on Napster, my dad's office.
You're back on the swivel chair.
Back on the swivel chair, watching the deal memo come through my dad's fax machine.
Oh, wow.
Which
wow.
is takes you back, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Watching it come through, and I'm just seeing like entire paragraphs are scratched out, mm-hmm. and he's adding zeros to budgets like in my favor. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
This looks, I thought it was cool. This is even better. So we send the markups to Brad, the guy at the label, and he says, and he ends up calling me the next day, but it just goes straight to voicemail. It was like, well, I don't know how you could, or maybe I missed it. It seemed like I didn't even get his call, but I get this voicemail, and he's like, you know, hey, you know, I thought we had a relationship. We're really insulted by this deal. You have a choice to make. You know, you can either work with this attorney or you can work with us, but you can't do both.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Like, I'm 18 and I already have to decide who I trust and what to do. And I mean, it was like, again, I was so on the high of this potential deal and I was just like kind of crushed. So it was, I remember it being a really hard decision. I remember like, you know, being like frustrated and confused to like the point of tears and like,
yeah.
But there was something that Dan, the attorney, said that really like put it in perspective for me. And he said, hey, you know, I really think you have talent. And I also think you're really young. And if you want to get in the music business, you know, this is a long road. And if you want to go, like I'll walk it with you. Like I can help you out. He's like, but if I was you, I wouldn't get in bed with the first person who wants to sleep with you. He put it like that. And I don't know why. It just was like, yeah. Maybe that's right. And
I'm just so impressed with any 18-year-old who could be offered a deal and have, because as you're talking about what he said to you, which of course makes all the sense in the world, you know, to me as a 41-year-old, but at 18, it's like I had no ability to see, like, it's a long road, man. Like sentences like that fell on deaf ears for me.
Well, it was not what I wanted to hear, right?
Right.
I mean,
kudos to you for making the tough decision at that time.
Thanks. I feel so grateful, man. I mean, I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that is the definition of dodging a bullet.
Yeah, it's so evident now, and you know, it's just God's protection. Honestly, I'm so glad because that's what brought me to Nashville, which has been like the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I was never probably going to come here, because I wasn't even making country music at that time and all that. I probably wouldn't have made it here. My mom was like, "Hey," she was relieved. You know, she was relieved, and she's like, "Listen, like." She's like, I would love for you just to go to college for 2 years. If you just go for 2 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
She said, I'll support you in whatever you want to do. But I just want you to have that experience and know what you'd be passing on.
Wow.
And I thought that was great advice,
that's
too.
That is cool.
Because it wasn't like, you have to get a degree.
Right.
It was just
it's not about the paperwork.
No,
she
it was
wants
just,
you to have the experience.
And that was such great. That was great.
Yeah.
So that's what led me down to Nashville. I was like, okay, well, obviously that made music feel really serious. I just got a record deal, so I'm not going to go study, it's like, you know, finance in Iowa now. Like I really want to like keep
finance. Yeah, Iowans.
Everyone's plan B.
Yeah. It's just if you meet one financier in Iowa, you meet 1,000.
That's right.
You throw a rock, you're going
to
hit a
financier. No offense to finances.
There's so
academics
many.
In Financers. Iowa. Fine people. Just trying to make a point that I was like, it just made me even more serious about music. So, you know, I Google music, you know, Google like music school, music business school. And that's how I found Belmont.
That is crazy.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. So
back
diversion
to the Girl Scouts.
Yeah. So, go to Belmont, here for a couple of years, have a great experience, I'm inspired. But my 2 years is up. I have fulfilled my
Did you kind of always
promise to my mom.
I mean, when your mom said that, I mean, I'm assuming you just kind of knew, like, I'm going to do 2 years and be done.
I think that's how I felt. Okay, it's okay. Hard to remember my headspace at the time. I think I was still, like, I was thinking, I'm going to get a record deal before I even get out of here. I think that's where my head was.
Yeah.
Because I was offered one when I was 18.
Well, you know, too, and kudos to your parents. And I want to say this really quick for all the listeners. I think one of the things that is really interesting for people like me who grew up where college was, like, I went to college and loved it. It's best, you know, some of the best 4 years of my life, 4.5 years of my life, is all I knew was you go to college. Everybody I knew, that was kind of, you know, like you went to high school and then you went to college and you did. It's I love hearing you say that. I think there's so much value. You know, our friend Al Andrews, who's been on the pod a few times, who we all love dearly.
Yeah.
You know, he gave his kids an option and said, I want you to actually take a year off and see what you want to do first. And then we'll send you to college, right? Because you have a little more informed if you want to go to college. To hear your parents go, hey, let's go, but let's go for 2 years. Like, I need to hear that. And I think there's probably parents who are listening that are going like, oh yeah, there are other options than just sending your kid to college. You know what I mean? Like, I just like that your mom was like, just give me 2 years. The thing I love about that is there is also equal chance you could go and be like, I love this.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to stick out the whole time. Or gone what you did where you're like, that was great. It like scratched an itch. And now I kind of know what I want to do. Right. I just think that's cool. Right. I think it's mm-hmm. you know, I think especially for people like me, you're like, no, you graduate high school and you go to college. It's cool to hear like, oh, there's other ways to think about that.
I gotta give props to my mom. I think she and my dad. I think they handled that really well. And like, and the third option could have been, okay, I'm done 2 years and I fall flat on my face and I go, I don't want to do music. I can't. It's not working out. Yeah. And so there was that option too. I know in her practical mind, she probably was like, I believe in you, but
right,
you know,
her hand is hovering above the checkbook.
That was an option.
Belmont.
That was an option. For sure.
Do you, real quick, and I don't think that you should, because not, you know, it's not like any of us have dusted out our diplomas.
Are you going to go back to school? That's what he's going to
ask. Does it bother you that you didn't finish? Does it come up ever?
It doesn't bother me anymore.
It did for a while.
Those first couple years when I dropped out, it did bother me.
Wow.
And it was because I didn't, and this will lead into the Girl Scout story, but I didn't drop out with a deal. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a song in a TV show. I didn't have anything going. I just was like, I just can't focus on this anymore. I can't like sit in you know, business or Spanish or whatever. I just want to get out and do this. I'm so sure it's what I want to do.
You knew. I'm not an Iowan.
I like that.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I was it.
You were looking up properties in Iowa. Yeah. Like, it doesn't
this
feel
just
right.
Doesn't feel. Yeah. That's right. It just didn't
No,
sit
I like
right.
that. I think that's way cooler
it
than
is. It's great.
Of a story than.
Well, thanks, man.
You know, after your 100th sink, you're like, all right, the bank account's bulging.
Yeah. No,
off to Iowa we go.
I had nothing. And other than just like I felt like it was what I wanted to do. And I was like, especially around the time my friends started graduating.
Right.
And I still didn't have much to show for it. So I was like, sweating it out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there was definitely a period. And I did take online classes briefly, I mean like 4 credits while I was trying to get out and do shows. Now that just kind of didn't work out. It just didn't last for me. But now it doesn't get to me.
Good.
So she walks out on stage mm-hmm. to sing this duet with me.
Okay.
We've been practicing for weeks.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to finally get to do this, but she's been telling me how anxious and nervous she gets. So, you know, sometimes to the point she said that it makes her nauseous.
Oh, okay.
So she's walking towards me.
Yeah.
And I can see in her eyes the look of complete abject fear.
Right.
And she starts to grab her stomach.
Yeah.
And I can tell if I don't get out of the way, she's going to puke all over me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is so Celine.
Ugh.
You know what? And that's why you always need to carry a relief band.
Yeah. Always. Okay. It's not negotiable, folks.
Yeah. People, this podcast is sponsored by Relief Band. Have you ever had to pull over because someone in the car was sick? Or maybe someone in your family wanted to skip school or work because they were nauseous?
Yeah. If it sounds
nauseous?
Well,
obnoxious.
Listen, obnoxious.
That's obnoxiously nauseous.
People at that, y'all know we make these things up and don't make any money from it. Johnny, that doesn't matter. You know what matters?
Tell me.
If that sounds familiar, what you're hearing us say, you need Relief Band. the number one anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more.
That's right. Relief Band is natural, fast-acting, and will last as long as you need it to last. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and has zero side effects.
John, you know I'm very conscious of what I put in my body, okay?
Yep.
So I love that I don't need to take any pills for Relief Band to work its magic. I use Relief Band when I get nauseous on planes, cars, pretty much any time I feel it coming on.
That's right. Relief Band has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and over 100,000, I'm going to say it again.
Wow.
100 grand wow. Yeah. Satisfied customers. So they are a brand you can trust. And Relief Band makes a great gift for the nausea sufferer in your life.
So if you always have a flashlight on hand for a blackout or a first aid kit on hand for emergencies, then you need a Relief Band for those unexpected nausea moments.
Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for Dadville listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code Dadville, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping.
So head to Relief Band. That's R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com. And use our promo code Dadville for 20% off plus free shipping.
Dave.
John, we all love summer, and our kids especially love summer, but we lose that consistent schedule of when kids are in school. And that can create some summer childcare problems.
You know what? Thankfully, though, Dave, there's a solution.
What?
Windy. That's W-Y-N-D-Y. Listen, it's an app that connects families to college student nannies literally in minutes. These nannies are background checked, interviewed, and honestly, just awesome, Dave.
That's right, John. And Windy has been around for 7 years and has been used by over 20,000 families. There are hundreds of qualified college student nannies on Windy near you working full or part-time.
All you have to do is go to windy.com/dadville to start searching for a nanny. And as a special offer, they're going to knock off $50 off your search if you go through that link. Windy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies and no ongoing fees.
Okay, so here's how it works. Go to windy.com/dadville to start your search. A Windy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. You can choose the one you like.
Get started now, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summer.
That's right.
Go to wyndy.com/dadville.
But again, going back to that period, to get to your question about the Girl Scouts, so what did it look like? I drop out, nothing going. I'm cold calling venues. Just learning everything the hard way. Like, how do you get in these places? I'm saying, where's John McLaughlin, Dave Barnes playing? I got to play in these rooms, you know. So I'm calling, like, okay, it doesn't work that way. Pretend to be a manager. Still not getting very far. But I did. I remember being at a coffee house, and I got an email to play a show in Atchison, Kansas at Benedictine College for $450.
Bro.
And I was like, here we go.
Game
$450. Let's
game.
Go.
And I losing money on the trip. Let's do this.
Well, that's so I look at, I was at the Edge Hill Cafe. I remember this vividly. I remember Google Maps. I'm just juiced on coffee. I got Google Maps up and I'm like, okay, 450. And then I Google map it and I'm like, oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I can't do it. So I literally painfully write back, I'm so sorry. I can't make the gig. And like 10 minutes later, I get another offer to do a show in Omaha at a sports bar for $250. I have no idea how. And for some reason, $250, I was like, two gigs? Okay, now I got a tour.
Game on.
I got a tour.
Yeah,
I got it. So
together.
I'm like, who
that's
do?
That's best. A North American tour, bro.
Yeah, that's right. So who?
You're looking at tour shirts.
Yeah, looking it up.
2 days.
Yeah, maybe I can get a couple more and get some more lines on the back of this tee. So I go, this is so funny to think about now, but at the time it felt so logical. I'm like, who do I know between here and Omaha, Nebraska, where I can like play a show and stay for free? And you guys know Jake Goss. He's the drummer for
Who
Laney.
Who has been on Dadville.
I've heard the episode. Yeah, he's an old friend and used to play drums with me and stuff at Belmont and beyond. And so I'm like, okay, Jake's parents live in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I knew I could stay for free there because they offered, you know. And So I booked this gig.
I love young man brain. Yeah. Yes. I just love it so much.
This is young man brain. and I found this venue on called the Pontiac Coffee House in Fayetteville on MySpace. Sent him a, I can't remember if it was a message or a call, but I set up a show on my way out to my other big gigs I had. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Locked in. I got 3 dates. Here we go. I got one on the way back, but who knows? To the story. I get in my, at the time, Honda Element with my CDs.
I love that car.
I'm dropped out of school. I got nothing going except this.
Do you have all the faint lights at this point yet?
I think I did. Okay. It maybe just came out. And I'm driving out there. I'm like, I think it's like 9 hours to Fayetteville or something. And I'm like,
are you driving day of?
Day of.
Oh, rough.
Day of. Young man brain. Once again, but I couldn't pay for a hotel.
Yeah, you can't.
That's the thing. I didn't have that kind of cash.
That's not in the expenses.
No, it wasn't in there. So I get to the Pontiac Coffee House, and I.
It's got to be the Pontiac Coffee House, yeah. By the way.
It's and I, it's like a, you know, it's a gravel lot. I get out, and you know, and I'm. Overcast sky, and I get my guitar. I walk in there, and behind the cashier, the only person in there is the barista slash cashier.
Overcast sky.
Yeah, I'm taking you there, and that's the only person in there. And I'm like, okay, it's all right. It's early. People will be here.
Yeah,
because this is a walk up. This is on my website.
It's a walk up.
Yeah, people are gonna come.
It's a walk up. Yeah.
So I go, I'm like, hey, I'm Steve Mochler. I'm here to play tonight.
Oh, gosh. Can you briefly tell us a little bit about just like where how's your bravado right now? It's humming, right? Like you're walking in there just like.
Oh, I got a lot on the line.
You're like, I got my guitar. It's me. It's me.
Yeah, it's me. I know you've been expecting me. It's the date's on my website, hopefully on your website. And we're going to do good business tonight. Yeah. Here.
We're gonna do good business.
So much to my surprise, the guy behind the counter is like, he's like, what? I was like, I'm here, Steve Mochler. Well, let me say it again. I'm here.
You must not have heard.
Yeah, I'm here to play a show. He's like, let me get the manager. So he goes in the back, and I'm just starting to get a little nervous. And they're back there for a little too long. And because it's not a big place, and then he comes back out and with the manager guy, and the guy's good. He's like, I'm really sorry. We did not know about this. We didn't know you were coming, and he, you know, and I'm like, okay, all right.
What are you thinking?
My mind's racing. I'm like, do I just leave? I'm like, I can't leave. Like, I'm here. I just drove all the way. I just dropped out of college. Like, I need to do something right here.
All of that.
So there's just, we just kind of have this silent standoff. My mind's racing. I think he's not going to tell me to leave, but I'm like, so he's like, I guess you could just... You know, you could play. You could set up. You could play right there if you want. I was like, okay,
yeah, oh,
yeah. I'll play. So there's no PA. There's no stage. There's just a couch in this.
So wait, do they have shows at this place?
I don't know. They were supposed to have this one. I thought they had a couple. I thought I'd seen it. It's hard to go back and recall all the details.
The trauma is so deep. Your brain's
so deep. You can't open.
I thought they had shows. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. And
so again, just to reiterate. There's a couch. And that is, yeah. There's no coffee, stage. There's no
couch
PA.
And a coffee table and a couple chairs
what,
like this.
What time of day are we talking?
This is about 5 o'clock, but show time was going to be 7. And so I go, all right. They're like, set up right there. I was like, cool, fine. You know, set up right here because I'm still thinking people are going to come.
Oh, yeah.
Now I got to be here.
Yeah, man.
You got to set up quick. People are on their way.
They're on their way. Yeah. Luckily, it's a quick setup. No PA.
I just went
back out to get my stack of CDs. I set them on the coffee table. And, you know, I think I ate some kind of wrap thing they had there, whatever. And I just waited. And I kick off the show. No one's there.
Just sitting on a couch.
Oh, boy.
No one's there. And, like, the vibe in this place, like, just to continue to take you there, it's like they got, like, there's, like, T-shirts with wolves on them and, like, you know, plates with angels. And there actually is just a big Pontiac car for, like, a 1950s Pontiac in the middle of this place.
Okay.
And I'm finally starting to take in my surroundings. Yeah. This is a weird place I'm in.
Yeah.
And get into song one, song two. I look across further. It's kind of an odd big room, and I look across and I see there is people here. There's actually a little Girl Scout meeting happening on about 50 feet away. There's like a half wall in this corner where there's a Girl Scout meeting. And I notice in my third song, I notice there's like some moms that are kind of peering over the half wall smiling at me. And I'm like,
hold on, I have to ask one quick question. Are you talking about doing the song? Are you just going?
I'm just going. Okay. I'm just going. I'm aware there's no one there. The guy behind the counter was like giving me the time of day, and you know, I can't remember. He might have clapped once or twice.
Okay, so you're literally just playing to the air.
I'm just playing. I'm just hoping somebody walks in.
No silence after the song, or the one guy clapping. After
it's hard
the song.
To say.
It's hard. That's a toss.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to
that's
say.
That's a debate.
One guy clapping.
Yeah,
that's the name of this episode, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm. It doesn't take a lot to just get me spurred on at this point. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. And I am desperate. And the mom smiling, I don't know. This is young man brain.
Oh, I love this so much.
I go, here's my shot.
Yep.
That's all I needed.
Here we go.
So without too much thought, which I do, I would say I'm normally kind of an overthinker, but I didn't think about this at all. I just get the guitar in the right hand. I just pick up from the couch. I gotta clear the distance.
You gotta go where the people are.
I gotta
are.
Clear the distance.
Yep.
Okay. Ew. So I walk by the Pontiac, you know, and I pick up a stool on the way, and I put the stool down in front of the Girl Scout meeting, and I start to play my fourth song. And I think it's going to be great.
Oh yeah,
my heart's racing, but I'm like, this is going to be what this a comeback
showbiz.
Story. This is about
showbiz.
To be.
Yeah,
this what is a comeback story.
And I start to play, and the moms that were smiling, like their faces quickly change. It's quick, and it's immediate. It's concern. There's fear. There's concern. They're looking around. They're looking at each other, like, who's going to handle this? This needs to stop. And the alpha mom finally stands up. She's like, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I said, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm getting the vibe. I'm like, hey, am I bothering you guys? Is this a problem? And then the mom's like, she's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. We're in the middle of something over here. Like, I'm so sorry, but yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I got it, yeah, for sure. I'm sorry.
I'm sweating right now.
Young man, are you crying?
Yeah.
No.
I got it. I got the message. Stop playing. And I pick up the stool and just
make the saddest,
slowly walk back.
The saddest 20-foot walk in the history of time.
So sad. And like, I remember being so ashamed. Like, I couldn't even like make eye contact with the cashier guy because I know he saw it all.
Oh, he was
and I was
there.
Like, we can't even look. I think he was trying to like he didn't see it just to spare me. He was probably ashamed. I mean, and we're just, and I'm just,
it's a lot
and I just,
of shame.
I walk back to the couch, just gutted, you know? And I sit back down, and I just played a few more songs. I was like, maybe someone's going to come. Like, one person came in, and they just, like, went straight to buy a coffee and, like, smiled at me. I was like, okay, yeah, smiled at me and walk out. And I think, whatever. And then I did have a friend, like, text me. I think it was one of Jake's high school friends. Like, hey, man, we might be there. I was like, please don't come.
Oh my gosh.
I said something
once
like, actually,
this Girl Scout meeting,
the
gay, we're
I was
there.
Like, the guy, I actually just wrapped up. And I was like, no, it's I don't. Now I don't
up.
Want anybody here. Now, especially not someone that like knows somebody I know.
Yeah, and, yeah.
So I played a couple more songs and just wrapped it up. And the Girl Scout meeting let out, and they were like, a couple of the moms came by on their way out. They were so nice. Like, we're sorry. You really sound great. Oh. And we just were in the middle of this. And like one of the moms, like, you know, my cousin works at a radio station here. Why don't you give him a call? Slid me a number.
Oh.
And then they're like, are you hungry, hon? We got some food. And I was like, actually, I am, you know? And I go back. I had their like left the whatever some rotisserie chicken and grapes, and I just sat there.
Which feels right.
Yeah. And that was the that
and
was
some
my
thin
night.
Mints. Some Samoans.
Probably was a thin
They
mint.
Were like, yeah, right. Such Girl Scout cookies. You can have as many as you want. That story, I can't think of many stories that typify the plight. I mean, John's sweating. I'm laughing.
I'm sweating. We're living it.
It is just like,
it's
the combination of a few things. It's just the absolute confidence of a young man who is like, I have songs. People need to hear the frickin' songs.
Once they hear them.
Yeah, it is time for me. Yeah. It is time for me to get on the road. Like,
I love that you walked back to the empty couch side of the room and played a couple more
that's
songs.
That's the best part.
I had to do a couple.
That's the maybe best the best part.
I couldn't let them know they got to me the way they did.
No. No, just to make sure. But none of them like bought that because, like, if I'm the mom, I'm like, "Here's $10." Thank.
I don't think any money was exchanged. I did sell one CD to the guy behind the counter, which
Sweet
was cool.
Guy.
That was
that
cool.
Guy seems awesome.
He was a good guy.
To me, as the story's going on, I'm like, I'm rooting for
he was
that
good.
Guy, too.
He was a good guy. I put him through it that night. He probably tells that story. Jeez.
How did the rest of the shows go on the tour, on the first tour?
Honestly, the one at the sports bar was not that great, but it was better than that. The bar was low. But
low.
Then the one at the college in Atchison, Kansas, was awesome.
Oh wow!
And that you know that's all it takes,
bro. And you know what?
It was awesome.
It's like golf. You just
exactly
need one
like
shot,
golf.
It
one
has
good
to
shot
be said too.
Yeah,
that those kind of weekends as a I mean, how old are you? 20?
I think I was 20, maybe. 19.
It is
20.
Formative. Yes. It really is. It is like you have to do it. You have to go from like okay. Like, nobody cares. Like, you go home that night, you lay in the bed, and that to me is like, this is where the rubber freaking hits. Because when you get up the next year and like, time for the next show, it's like, yes, you go and play another show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that, I just love that. I love that, like, oh, no, that, I'm okay with that. Like, it broke me. Oh, I live to play again. Like, this is, you know what I mean? It's like, you have to do that. Like, you have
I played
to have
a show, well, I technically played a show in Memphis one time where we pull up to – this was actually the first – it was at the High Tone Cafe.
The old
it was
hit
the
one.
First time where I was like, this is a legit place. We're playing Memphis.
Yeah.
This is a High Tone Cafe.
That's a big town, yeah.
And we get there. My name's spelled wrong, of course, with an H. We load in. We play the show. Only one person comes. And that guy left early. And he only came because he thought the other John McLaughlin was playing.
Oh.
But
who is the other one?
The jazz guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a
Pardon
like
me.
A legendary guitar player.
Not to me. You're
but,
the legend
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We've got that recorded. Well, send me that. But I was with my band, though. So I feel like that makes it.
Yeah.
That makes the whole experience so.
It spreads the
hits
shame
you different.
Out.
Yeah.
It spreads the shame.
There's a shared sense of. All of that. You were just straight up by yourself.
Straight up.
I had a show at early days, played down here at Bongo Java.
Mm-hmm.
In the upstairs.
After Hours Theater.
After Hours Theater. I love that place. It will always have a piece of my heart. It was so few people that it was just my friends from college. We had all just moved here. It was about five of them. It was only them and me.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play like it's a packed arena. And at one point, one of my good girlfriends goes, Dave, and breaks the, what is it, the fourth period? Fifth
fourth
wall,
wall.
Fourth wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, on the mic, yeah. She's like, can we just go eat?
When are you going to be done?
And I was like, can I just play like the show ender? She's like,
the show ender. I play. Hit him with the hits.
Oh, and I was like, and they were just kind of like, cool, you need some help packing up. I was like, yeah. We just got went eight. Those moments
in there, man.
Are just so, so similar.
They're character building.
Yes.
They're so character. Okay, so.
Oh, my gosh.
When we start talking about camp, the thing that I want to know, so you have these two boys.
Yeah.
And they're how old?
Three and four.
I can't imagine as a dad. So they, you know, we've all seen those nightmare shows. How on the other opposite end, how sweet is it that your boys get to see you do, these shows that they get to see you do, see the people's responses to it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's such a beautiful thing, especially coming out of that story, where it's like, not only is it all these people that love what you do, but your kids, your sons are watching their dad do this thing and seeing people immediately respond to it and hear people talk about you and come up and give you hugs and, you know, talk about how much, that's such a sweet thing.
Yeah, it is cool, man. It's kind of all we know. You know, they were in the womb out there and diapers out there. So I haven't really given that like a ton of thought, but that is,
and they're probably like little mini celebrities in this group, right? Everybody knows that they're your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. They do get like gifts and stuff. They get, they get a little spoiled out there, coloring books and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So they love it. They love coming on the road. They like the change of scene and I think they really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I think I'm just starting to get feedback like that. My oldest son is singing some of my songs.
Oh, man.
Because I can't really see it from where I'm at, but
Gracie. During the shows.
Yeah. Just last night, like we were brushing his teeth and I think, I posted that like recap video from the tour. So my song was playing and he started singing it a little bit. And I was like, "You like that song?" He's like, "I like that song." Oh, and I was like, "That's so
nothing
cool.
better in
it's
the
so
world."
It's so cool.
Nothing better.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still brand new to me. You know, three and four, like I'm just starting to get some of that.
Dude, 3 and 4.
So it's cool.
You guys are in the thick of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when I have,
we are.
I have two girls that are when they were like when Luca was 4, Livy was 2. I mean, I think if Amy, my wife, were here, I think she would agree with me. Like that's probably the hardest time. That's the time where it's like the most physically exhausting, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because you're still like now, like our girls, they come downstairs in the morning fully dressed.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Like when you say you're brushing your son's teeth, I'm like, yeah, that's, you used to have to do everything. Like what do you find is like the hardest part for you? This is the question. If you could omit one part of the day, one of the daily dad things, what would it be?
Man, that's a great question. I think it's probably, this first thing comes to mind, but it's the period after dinner and before bedtime where dinner has been served. And it was largely denied.
Right.
And now we want to eat everything. And it's like, it's just like, you know, just like mentally, what do I do? It's just, am I creating bad habits? And like physically, I'm like, somehow I've dirtied 3 more plates. Right. There's crumbs everywhere. I just cleaned the kitchen. Like that period of time, I don't know why, like every day feels like the hardest period of time. Yeah. And then then when that kicks into bath time. My kids are, my youngest one is a nut in the bathtub. Like it is, like he's like, it's like SeaWorld in there. It's crazy. Like we've had water leaking through the ceiling.
Yes.
And it's just like, that period of time right there, the post dinner, I'm hungry into bath time.
Yeah.
Is the hardest part.
That's a rough time. So with y'all, with you and Gracie, what do you feel like y'all's superpowers are as parents?
Ooh.
Like what are the things y'all are like, man, we each kind of covered these bases well.
I feel like I'm I feel like I'm pretty good at like the practicalities of like getting their lunches packed, getting their clothes clean, and like I guess that kind of stuff, like the logistics, the physical, getting you what you need, that kind of stuff. My wife is really good. She's like the nurturing, like safe place. I can also be a little like, you know, a little more strict, probably more like trying to keep it on the rails because of that. And she's a little more like gracious, like when they're having a hard time, like getting on their level. And I'm learning from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think too, I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the pod, but I think same gender parent kids are always, there's always more friction, like dads to sons, moms to daughters.
Yeah.
There's just, cause you know, and we've talked about it a lot, but like I think people kind of theorize that it's because you know the plight of a man.
Yes.
And so you're like, you need to toughen up because the world's going to do all this stuff. And a woman is doing the same thing. It's like, I know what it's like to be a girl. And
totally.
A woman, and you got to, you know, pack this thing in tight because it's going to. And so I think there's always a little bit when you have just one gender of kids.
Yeah.
Whatever that parent is, it's the same gender. It can get a little, you know, we've talked to a lot of parents who are like, yeah, it gets, you know, you can feel where like, oh, dad's going to lean in different ways on these boys than mom is, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good to hear that. It makes you feel less alone, but I do get that. I mean, I think, I can see myself in them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, and there's a little bit of that, or, and also because they're boys, like they fight, they'll be more, you know, they're more like combative and fight with each other, and I'll feel like I got to referee that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
do they scrap?
They're starting to scrap a little bit. They're not too bad. They're pretty like sweet natured guys, but you know they'll get into it a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll just like fight even just like verbally a little more, and then every now and then as they get bigger, I feel like it's getting a little more off. Now they have a little more weight to throw around, like you know, like the quick. It's like the quick hits, like they're real quick.
It's the hockey chip.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a little into the ring.
It's more
of
that, and then it's like after two or three of those, I'm like, hey, 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 hey.
Yeah.
It's always tricky kind of when, because my two girls will fight, they will wrestle, and it's tricky when it's like, I'm up in the kitchen, they're down on the couch, and they're like, they're having a great time, and I'm like kind of watching them. It's so great, and then they go a little too far.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, all right, hey, 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 come on. And then they, you know, they go too far, and then one of them's crying, and then I get down there, and they're both laughing again. It's this weird sort of like, I feel like I need to jump in here, but like you guys are going back and forth between like having the time of your life, and like crying and being upset. It's tricky.
Well, it's just like, and this is such an obvious statement, but I'm seeing this more with our kids. As they get bigger, they just get more hurt. And so what at that age where you are, you can have little tussles, but nobody, you know, they're so small.
Right.
So they can't hit that hard. They're not that heavy if they're sitting on each other. You know, now it's like ours are just getting to that age where like if Ben is just like laying on Sam to annoy him, if he lays on him the wrong way, like and pins his, you know, something, his arm or head or something, he really gets hurt.
Yeah.
And so it's no longer like,
you're going to watch out.
As a college.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, he's smart and knows what he's doing and how to pin his younger brother. But I do think, so one question I love asking. So with boys being 2 and 3, with your kids being 2 and 3, like you've been in it for a minute. You know what I mean? You've been in it 4+ years, whatever it is now. If you could go back, like, you know, either, you know, you've just had, what's your oldest name?
Jack. Yeah.
So Jack has been, let's say he's either about to be born or whatever, and you can time travel back and Steve is standing there in the hospital room and you have like a couple of minutes, you know, what's knowing what you knew now, what are you saying to him?
Brand new dad, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh,
Jack Mokler is a phenomenal name, by the way.
You like that? Thank
yes.
you. I appreciate that.
He's either going to be like a really good bar fighter or like could be living in Iowa and doing just amazing finance.
Some finance out there. Yeah.
I can hear it.
It's a good path, you know?
Either one.
Yeah. Man, what would I say to myself at that time? Jeez. I mean, you guys know this. It just goes so freaking fast. You know, I think I'd say just to lean in and just to soak it up. I mean, even those like newborn nights that are coming, all that stuff that was like so exhausting. Mm. Just to soak it up more.
Yeah. Have you seen yourself like, or let me ask this differently. What are the ways you've seen yourself change the most as a dad?
Man, the heavy hitters. I should have been prepared. I've listened to this podcast so many times. I think you hit me with some fresh stuff.
You're inspiring different things, Steve.
I mean, for one, it's changed how I want to spend my time, you know? And that's been a huge one. Just feeling I feel like I've, and I think there's a good and a bad to this, but I feel like I've gotten a little more like dutiful. In some ways, you
mean
know?
Like dude?
Like no, like dude, like duty.
I was joking.
Like,
I've got to be more of a guy. You know what I mean?
I'm more dudish. dude like.
Just lean into the dude.
No, man, I've gotten a little more dutiful, which I think is in some ways is cool. In other ways, I'm like trying to keep it in check. You know, my heart's gotten way softer. Not that it was ever super hard. I mean, but I feel like I've got, you know, I can cry a lot easier.
Oh my gosh,
which I think is good. You know, especially when you're making music, keeping it soft, right? But I feel like I've gotten a lot more. I guess, yeah, I'd say tender, maybe dutiful, and just being a lot more, you know, choosy about what things I want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great word. I think I like how you said that about soft. I do feel like, man, I can always cry at anything, but gosh, every year more I'm a dad, or however you'd say that, with every year longer that I'm a dad. Man, it's embarrassing. Like, we were touring a school this morning, and we met this wonderful guy who's head of diversity. Mm-hmm. And he started talking, and I got so choked up. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, nervous he was going to notice. Because he's like, let me tell you what we're doing here for all this. And I just was like, why am I so choked up right now? You know, this guy just talking about diversity, and now it's so purposeful. I was like, something about it just hit me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my kids could be at a school where they're being so, you know. And I was like, okay, you got to pull it back, Barnes. I was like, okay, yeah, totally.
Dude, I feel the same. And my dad was like this, and his dad was like this. Like, I remember my grandfather, who was a clarinet player. He would talk about certain clarinet solos on certain records, and he would cry.
Jeez, man.
I don't know what it was.
That is beautiful.
And I don't feel like I was like that before I had kids.
Yeah, there's a thing.
I feel like there's, like, becoming a dad, it feels like there's rooms in your heart like you didn't know were there, and then they open up with each child. It's like, and it just feels like I feel everything more.
Yeah.
You know, hard things and good things, you know? Think about that.
I'm getting a third of this.
There's a room.
I mean, when you said that, I literally was like, this feels like a co-write starting. You know, because I had this idea.
But how would Stained do it?
Okay, we thank you for your time. Before we let you go, is there anything? We're trying to be better at this. John and I laugh because I feel like we forget to, like, ask what people want to plug. Because, you know, you got stuff going on. So, like, anything, I know, and just would you quickly tell everybody about what Gracie's doing, how cool the
Oh, yes.
Thank
you for
asking. This is so cool.
I would love to plug that. My wife, Gracie, is an amazing creative entrepreneur. She just launched this new business called Emergency Confetti less than a year ago.
So great.
And it's these giftable confetti kits. That's like, they're kind of made like a little retro-looking first aid kit, but instead of preparing for bad things to happen, they're preparing for good things to happen. So there's a spontaneous one. There's one for, you know, bridal showers, and one for birthdays. All kinds. She's and there's a whole line now. So check out Emergency Confetti.
It's the coolest. Great idea.
Isn't that so
dude,
cool?
It's really cool. I'm super proud of her. And definitely want to plug that.
Yep.
And then for me, man, my latest record's called Make a Little Room. My seventh album. I'd love for you to check it out. Other than that, I'm in the middle of a tour, so I have no other tour I can promote. But.
Yep.
I appreciate
you asking. So the tour is done, like the submissions are done.
Yes, yeah, the submissions were done a couple months ago, and now we literally are going into our last couple weeks of the tour. Mm-hmm. So we just have two more weekends of shows.
Are you gone straight for those? Is that like you're gone?
We're going to pop back in town for in between real quick.
Okay.
But yeah.
Are you hitting Pontiac Coffee House at all, or going to drive by?
I mean, honestly, now we're going a different direction, but, you know, I've never been the most efficient with the routing, so maybe I'll call up Mrs. Goss, see if we can pull in the driveway.
Oh, my gosh. All I want is for, like, you know, to know, like, I just wonder if every time you see Girl Scout cookies, you have, like you unexpectedly cry.
Yeah, you just
like, why am I so emotional
right now? I haven't been able to enjoy Tagalong, it's the same. Maybe that's why. I never thought about it.
And last thing we'll say, it's just this is what wrecks me, is that in your brain, like in my brain, I would have gone, you know the problem. It's what you said. I got to close it. And that they are actively having a meeting. And in your brain, you thought, you know what they really want, though?
Yeah.
Some Steve Mokler songs.
Yeah.
And, like, how is that
missing from
this? I just, like, how is that going to go? Like, in my brain, I'm like, I start playing. They go, Deborah, hold on. Are you hearing this?
Are you hearing this, young man?
I know it's hard not to because he's 5 feet away, but just give him, girls, can we all? I mean, like, I just love that somewhere you're like, no, that's a very real possibility.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's desperation doing its fine work.
Desperate
optimism. Just rationalizing.
We love you, Steve. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Dadville.